Well, hey there, folks, and welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club. I'm glad to see you are all able to log into this week's meeting. And as I do sometimes, I think we're going to start this week's meeting with a little thought experiment. Now, this might actually apply to you, but the odds are you're not a high school senior or junior. But if you were, I want you to imagine what it would be like thinking about college or higher education, trade school, technical school, community college, or whatever it is you want to do after high school at this moment. Imagine not only having to figure out a virtual graduation, but a virtual matriculation. Figuring out what college is going to be like, not just in general, but what it's going to be like right now when the educational landscape is changing fast. And sorry to do this, but I'll add an additional hiccup, because it's not just the changes to education that are affecting you as you consider college in this little example. It's also the stresses of the economy, stresses that you or your family might be feeling in this scenario. Well, the good news is we don't have to just guess what that's like. If we want to make informed decisions about what education looks like in the future, we can look at the data. That's what we're doing this week. We're talking to Ed Grucholsky. He's our guest speaker. He's a senior VP at Junior Achievement USA. Now, they're a nonprofit that works in areas like career and financial literacy for young people. And they recently commissioned a study to look at the attitudes of teenagers right now and their thoughts about life after high school. The results are interesting and edifying, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this meeting of the EdTech Club, and it all starts right now. Okay, folks, I know I started with a pretty heavy thought experiment, a lot to consider, but like I said, we don't have to go on this journey alone. In this week's meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA, Ed Grucholsky takes us through the results of the survey they commissioned on 13 to 18-year-olds and their attitudes about going to college, especially about the potential financial burdens of going to college with the current changes to life and the economy. So if you're a parent, you're an educator, especially at the secondary level, if you're a counselor, if you work in higher ed, or if you're a student yourself, this might be some interesting information to take going forward and to consider as we consider these changes in education. So I won't hold you back any further. We will get into our conversation.
I'm Ed Grucholsky. I'm the Senior Vice President of Brand for Junior Achievement USA, and my responsibilities are really around promoting the organization and our mission to inspire and prepare young people for success.
And so you recently took part in conducted a survey in partnership with Citizens Bank. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what this survey focused on.
Yeah, so we conducted a survey with Citizens Bank of 1,000 teens between the ages of 13 and 18. And we really wanted to get an idea of, you know, since the situation with the pandemic really is both a public health crisis and also a financial crisis, we wanted to get an idea of where teens were in terms of their thinking about it, some of their concerns, some of their hopes for the future. And so that's really the rationale behind doing the survey.
Tell us a little bit about the methodology. How did this come together? What does the actual survey look like?
Yeah, so the survey was conducted by a company called Wakefield Research, and they do a panel of teens, and they break it out to have a representative sample of the general population. So it is scientifically valid. I think there's like a 3.5% margin of error on it. And so it is a pretty representative sample of what teens are thinking related to some of these issues around COVID-19.
Meaning that this group you surveyed kind of demographically matches teenagers in the United States.
Yeah, they represent the U.S. general population of teens. They're not junior achievement students. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the focus on this was to kind of see how young people, especially high school students, are reacting to the changes in education. One of the things you really drilled down on in this survey of 1,000 teenagers was their plans for if they're an upperclassman in high school, say, mm-hmm. how they're thinking about the transition to college.
Yes.
That's pretty, feels pretty up in the air right now. I think a lot of colleges themselves don't know what it's going to look like in the fall, much less a year or two down the line. So take us through a little bit of the results you saw in this survey.
Yeah, so it, in terms of the teens, especially juniors and seniors in high school, they are very up in the air about higher education going into the fall. You know, what we found is that, you know, we had 44% of teens are thinking now that they're going to have to figure out new ways to pay for college because of what's happening. You know, in terms of the future, we've got about a third of the teens that were planning to go to college actually looking at delaying starting college, whether it's a semester or a year. And a lot of them are looking at options now that are closer to home, like maybe spending that first year at a community college or living at home. So it really is affecting the way teens are thinking about higher education as they're getting ready to, whether they're graduating right now or preparing to graduate in the next year or so.
That's interesting. You know, we think a lot in higher education about there being an ecosystem, like a kind of variety of like post-secondary options, right? I mean, we know there are traditional four-year universities, there's technical colleges and community colleges and training programs. I guess coming out of kind of the shock of the changes to schooling this year, it seems like maybe parents and teens are starting to look more at the broader ecosystem of what can be done after high school in terms of education.
Yeah, it's probably really had teens focus more on that than I think has happened in recent years. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, the student loan debt crisis and some of the other factors that kids go into. And one of the challenges, obviously, is you have kids that will go out into college. For a lot of us, college will be our second largest expense in life, you know, behind owning a house. And in a lot of cases, you've got a 17 or 18 year old making the decision to take out a loan to pay for that. And, you know, what we've seen and the data I think supports this is that you have a lot of instances where kids will pick, you know, a school that may be out of state or private and, you know, go into a degree area where their future income isn't enough to pay back that student loan in a reasonable amount of time. And I think the realities of what's going on right now with COVID-19, I think a lot of teens and their parents are really reassessing that. I think a lot of teens are taking a much harder look at what's happening. I will say we've done previous research that shows that most teens are thinking, well, I'll get a grant or I'll get a scholarship or whatever like that. I'll pay for college. Invariably, about 70% of people who go to college end up taking out a student loan. And I think what you're seeing with this data that there are more teens thinking that they're going to have to do that. I think it's really a reality check more than anything. I don't know. It's just, you know, the immediacy of what's going on with the pandemic is really getting kids to focus on what this really means for them financially, which, you know, as terrible as the situation is, I mean, if there is a silver lining in it, it's that may be one element of it.
Yeah, I think, and the survey does dig into this. You know, I think a lot of students might who assumed they would go to college or go on to further education after high school thought, well, there are methods, there are ways of doing this, there are pathways. I'll just go and do it, like so many others do. Seems like now with the changes we've seen from social distancing and even just the general changes in society and how things are going to get funded moving forward, for example, are causing a new kind of reflectiveness in teenagers to consider what they're actually going to need to do if they want to go on to higher education.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. And, you know, a lot of it is, and you look at it from this standpoint, if you're going to go to college, but you're going to have to look at doing at least the first year online, that could change what you're going to major in. Because you start looking at, I mean, there are certain occupations where you absolutely have to be in a physical space. You know, if you're talking about medicine or you're talking about engineering, there are certain areas of study where it's not necessarily something you can do completely online. And so that's another thing that we found from the survey research is kids are actually starting to rethink some of their, you know, some of their goals from a career standpoint as a result of what's happening.
Like you could be interested in engineering, go to a university, for example, and say, well, there's an engineering department. They will figure out how to teach me engineering.
Yeah.
But in this upcoming fall semester or spring or perhaps even longer, it could be we have to find new ways to teach engineering.
Right. I mean, if you're doing something that's hands-on, using a 3D printer, robotics, you know, I mean, there obviously computer science might be a different conversation, but there are other areas of mechanical engineering, things like that, where, you do have to have some lab work associated with it, and you can't do that completely online. So again, that does impact how kids are thinking about college.
Yeah, kind of asking questions we don't always ask in times of certainty. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the results here. I mean, I think this is interesting. Of course, these are all teenagers between 13 and 18 who aren't yet attending college.
Right.
But the survey says that close to three quarters of teens have discussed with their parents or guardians finances since the COVID outbreak. A quarter of them have concerns about this. And even one in seven say that their parent or caregiver lost a job due to the changes happening right now. So that must have a really big and really sudden effect on the way people conceptualize what's possible in terms of higher education.
Well, and you know, one of the things you're seeing too in that data, you are seeing, high school seniors, especially thinking about going to work versus starting school. And even some of those, teenagers who have a job right now that's outside of the workplace or outside of the home, nearly half of them say that they're having to contribute money to help pay living expenses, both for them and their families. So there are some realities about the economic necessity and the urgency of dealing with the now. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see, a lot of high school graduates, maybe putting off any kind of higher education for the immediate future because of those circumstances.
Now, I don't know if this is covered in the survey, but one of the things I'm thinking about, I mean, more than half of the teens surveyed are basically concerned with how this is going to impact their future.
Yes.
And even more are concerned about an immediate illness in the family or something like that, changing their plans. How does this compare to in the past? I mean, do you have a sense of whether these kinds of concerns are totally new or if they're just being focused on a bit more now?
I think they're being focused on. I will say we've done surveys, in the past, and typically, especially when you're talking about a high school junior or senior, they're very optimistic about the future. So they're not necessarily this concerned about what's going on. So it's definitely having an impact. And that's one of the things that we're certainly focusing on as an organization, providing resources to parents and caregivers to talk to their kids about this, because there is a financial wellness component to this that does have a psychological element to it. And so we're trying to provide those resources so people have information and they can talk about it, because this is definitely a shift from what we've seen in the past.
And I guess one thing I would be curious about, I mean, a lot of teens clearly are concerned about what higher education might look like moving forward. Do you have a sense, you'll have to forgive the plane flying overhead.
Oh, that's fine.
Our studio is a bit more rustic than it used to be. Okay. So the question is, while these teens are definitely concerned about what higher education might look like, I take it they're still interested in pursuing higher education.
I think they are still interested in pursuing higher education. I think the question is, short term, what does that mean? I do think you're probably going to see more of a gap year type situation for a lot of high school graduates. And again, you're going to see some of those changes we've talked about, maybe more of an inclination to try community college initially, career tech, maybe commuter campus type situations where they're living at home, and more of the online education. I mean, there are a lot of options, obviously, now in the online space. And again, while there are degrees that, you are going to need some sort of interaction, there are other degrees where you could, at least for the first year or two, do everything completely online. So I think those are some of the factors that the kids were thinking about.
Yeah. And so when you talk to teens about this, do you get a sense that they have a sense of possibilities being there? Or is there more of a just kind of a drawing a blank, if that makes sense?
I think they recognize the problem. I don't know if they quite know how to deal with it. And I think that's, sort of what you're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, this involves the teens themselves and their families, when you were doing this survey, were there results, whether anecdotal or quantitative, that took into account like specific programs people might be moving toward that they weren't before? You mentioned community colleges, for example.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of maybe more in terms of the career fields themselves, I think you're seeing one of the questions we've seen a lot from teens basically is, what are the jobs that are in demand? And obviously, healthcare is certainly an area that has always been in demand. But you're seeing things now that like skilled trades, like plumbing, HVAC, electricians, those kinds of things. There is an ongoing need for those folks, for those professions within the pandemic. And I think it is causing, you know, some teams start thinking about those things, because traditionally those have been kind of careers that have been, you know, put on the back burner. People haven't made them a priority. There's a huge demand in those areas, and a lot of them pay really well. And, you know, you can do them with a certification or a 2-year degree. And I think that, you know, another, you know, kind of side effect of this is you do have now teens looking at those careers that they may not have considered before as a result of this.
To sort of synthesize here, I guess if you're looking at this data that y'all have helped put together, and you're addressing, say, high school teachers, some of whom might be listening, what are the kinds of things that you hope educators at the secondary level are thinking about as they're preparing students to go into a relatively uncertain post-high school life?
Well, I think one of the big things is that flexibility is going to be critical here. And I think the idea is to keep moving forward. You know, if they've been accepted into a college, say, out of state, and they're thinking because of the situation, you know, with the pandemic, they may not be able to go to that college, it doesn't mean don't do anything. You know, you want the momentum. You want the ability to continue moving forward with your education. You know, reach out to that university or college, reach out to whatever, you know, institution you were planning to go to learn what their plans are. Because I will say one thing. I think if you were to take a gap year, for example, obviously, if there's a plan in place, you know, adjust the plan, don't give up on the plan. And that would be one recommendation I would put out there.
Mm-hmm. In terms of supporting students, they might come and say, well, I got into Texas A&M, but I don't know what the fall semester is going to look like. If you're a high school teacher sort of helping them along, that means helping them explore the options and get the information they need.
Exactly.
I suppose this also goes for parents, which was a big focus of this survey.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the parents, I mean, obviously they need to continue to be supportive. And one thing that did come up is that, you know, teens are saying they feel like they're going to be more inclined to need to take on student debt. Now, you know, one of the things with the student debt crisis is, you know, there's the perception that debt just in and of itself is negative. It doesn't need to be a negative if you are taking out the right amount of debt for what you can potentially pay off. And so, again, the idea of having to take out student loans shouldn't be a detriment to someone thinking about taking on higher education. It's, you know, what should I be taking out given what I expect to earn in the future? And those conversations parents should be having with their kids. I think in the past, it's been along the lines of, you know, a parent doesn't want to say no to their kid. If a parent, you know, if a kid has an opportunity to go to a big name school out of state or whatever, you know, talk about the money aspect of it. Talk about what the return on that investment is going to be. And for some degrees, it may not make sense to take out a lot of debt. But at the same time, you know, if the choice is not being able to go to school at all, and you take out a little bit of student loan debt to go to a commuter campus or an in-state school or something online that you can pay off in a reasonable amount of time, that should definitely be a consideration. Some of the other research we've done is you know, as students start going through that college journey, you know, their freshman year, sophomore year, you know, they come in thinking, well, I'm not going to have to borrow anything. And what happens is year after year, they start taking on more and more of that debt. So again, this is an opportunity to talk about that up front, so people aren't getting surprised midway through their college career.
One of the things we do here at TCEA is help advocate for the needs of educators and students. One of those things I think people will be thinking about moving forward, of course, is the funding mechanisms for various ways we pay for public education and higher education. Do you have a sense that the teens you surveyed might have a sense of the uncertainty of funding and things like that? You know, they can think about, well, maybe you mentioned, maybe I'll get a grant, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that, maybe I'll take out loans. But the way financial aid and things like that are getting dispersed is probably going to change in the coming months as well.
Yeah, I mean, our survey didn't really delve into that area too much. I will say from other research we've done in the past, there's always been a tendency to think that there's going to be college loan forgiveness. And in fact, that those percentages have increased over the years. And I'm hearing those stories now. I certainly wouldn't make a decision thinking that that's going to be the case, because again, we've been covering this for years and that hasn't happened. And so it's really about what are those resources that you have available to you now in terms of the impact itself on, financial aid and those kinds of things. You know, obviously there's a lot of different needs out there. I don't know how that eventually could affect things like, you know, Perkins and Pell grants and things like that. But, you know, it is one of those things to keep in mind as you're going through that process. There is a bit of a lead time on those kinds of things. So if there are any changes on that front, you're probably talking a few years out.
And how does the responses you've seen stack up to how teens were thinking about post high school before this? Do you have a sense of whether this has created more awareness of these financial and planning issues?
Oh, I think it's definitely put it front and center. I think, you know, part of it is, you know, parents are talking about the financial circumstances at home. And, you know, I think when you're 18 years old, paying for college is a pretty abstract idea, even though you're just getting ready to do it. I think this has really put it front and center. And I do think there are conversations happening now that probably weren't happening, you know, a few months ago. And so I think, you know, teens are definitely more focused on this, the financial aspect of college now than they were, at the beginning of this year, that's for sure.
Financial institutions, families, community institutions, schools are all thinking about these things. Do you have a sense of what higher education institutions are thinking right now in terms of these questions of what happens in the fall, what happens next year, what happens to these upperclassmen when they do matriculate or try to pursue higher ed?
Well, I mean, not firsthand. I have heard the stories about, you know, colleges and universities are trying to figure out how to deliver the programs. You are starting to hear, you know, students who've been accepted to school saying, okay, do I get a discount because I'm not going to be on campus? You know, if those kinds of conversations are starting to happen. So, I mean, there are obviously going to be financial implications for colleges and universities and other, you know, institutions of higher learning, because everything has changed. The value proposition has changed. In the end, the degree is, you know, still has the value, but the experience itself is not going to be the same. And so I'm sure all of them are really thinking through that process right now. And how do you talk to students? And again, I would say, you know, if you're a student planning to go to college in the fall, you know, start trying to have those conversations now. I mean, even if those institutions aren't ready to discuss it yet, it's important to let them know that you're thinking about it, because they will have to at some point come back and really discuss what the plan is going to be.
It seems to me like maybe these teens are going to have a lot more of a hold on what it's going to take to go through the higher education process now that that process is inherently changing a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those situations where, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, there's, again, the immediacy of the situation. You know, there may be some short-term decisions that they're making regarding what that first and second year of college are going to look like. The thought process needs to be, okay, how's that fit with the rest of what I'm going to do with my college career? Because, you know, again, the immediacy piece, are you going to end up with a disconnect? Say you're going to go, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to go the community college route for the first 2 years, or I'm going to go with a commuter campus approach or in-state or something. How does that affect the rest of what I'm trying to accomplish? And, you know, if you've ever had to do a transfer in college, I mean, you find that some of your credits won't carry over. You find maybe there's not quite the right alignment. So it's really important that as those decisions are being made, there's some research going forward in terms of what's this mean beyond year one or year two? What's this mean in terms of my, you know, ability to get the credential or the degree or whatever it is I'm trying to get to?
Well, thank you for sharing it with us. I think it's a conversation worth having about conversations worth having. So appreciate you taking out the time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, that's it for this meeting of the EdTech Club. And yes, we are still on a homework hiatus, but you can still earn some extra credit by checking out the Remote Learning Hub page at tcea.org/remote learning. Now, we've got a lot of other big projects in the works for you, and I'm excited to check them out. But for now, that is your best resource to bump up the kind of learning we do here at the EdTech Club. So that's your extra credit. As always, please rate and review this show, especially if you like it, but even if you don't, it really helps the show out, gets us out there for more people to see, and if you like the show, don't forget to share it on social media. You can even tag TCEA, just look for TCEA on Facebook, Twitter, and more. So that's it for this week's meeting, but keep listening and stay subscribed because we've got even more coming up that deals with all kinds of things you might be concerned with these days and things you might be concerned with in the future. And don't forget to share your thoughts and ideas about the present or the future, heck, even the past, by sending it to podcast@tcea.org. That's a great way to get in touch. But if you don't get in touch between then and now, I will see you at next week's meeting. And until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.